Hello, dear listeners. Welcome back to another exciting episode of Exploring Transfer Pricing. Today, we are going to embark on a journey into the world of legal entity rationalization, which we refer to as LER. As you know, summer is approaching, and many of us are thinking about slimming down, shedding those extra pounds we've accumulated over the winter. Well, corporations aren't so different. They too feel the need to trim the fat and to streamline their operations to become lean, mean business machines. We're diving into the corporate version of a summer slim down, a process known as legal entity rationalization. It's all about simplifying corporate structures, cutting down on excess, and making the business operations as sleek and efficient as possible. So grab your running shoes, or in this case, your financial statements and org charts, and let's get ready to sweat the unnecessary entities away. Remember, in the world of transfer pricing and in tax, less can indeed be more. As we get ready to streamline, rationalize, and get our corporations in shape for the summer, I want to introduce two of my guests who are going to be talking through this with us. First of which is Ashley Marks, who is a managing director in our Philly office.
Thanks for that introduction. I'm in the mergers and acquisitions tax group. I've been here at KPMG for over 11 years, working on a number of facets for transactions for clients.
And I also have with me Adam Kelfer, who is a managing director based out of our Dallas office in transfer pricing with a specialization in gaming and technology.
Thank you, Brittany. It's awesome to be here. I feel like this is the pinnacle of my career now, is being able to be on this podcast with you. I've been at KPMG for 2.5 years now, but I've been doing transfer pricing since 2007. And one of my favorite parts of this job is working with people from other service lines like M&A and international tax to help clients dig into their business and unlock value through slimming down their legal entity structure.
As we get into this, how did we get here? What's the history of legal entity rationalization?
These projects aren't new, but it is something that right now in the current market, we're seeing more of a need for it. Legal entity structures have really evolved through a time period when organizations were very acquisitive. You're going through inorganic growth, buying up a bunch of entities, or you're even engaging in transformative acquisitions back when the borrowing rates were low. At the time of serial acquisitions, you're building these pretty complex and somewhat costly legal structures, and you're not taking necessarily the time to integrate those acquisitions and put everybody on one ERP system or take all the jurisdictions, see what functions are performing. And in order to achieve the synergies that were identified in the deal, they need to affect some of these integrations. Also, there's the ERP system upgrade. And for a lot of our clients who are going to the S/4HANA system, right, that has a date set to it, right? And so as you're driving to achieve that implementation of that new ERP system or upgrade, there are one-time costs that are often associated with onboarding entities. The less entities you have, the less that you pay for implementing that new ERP system. And it's also an opportunity to reduce risk in your structure, get your intercompany transactions in order, set new transfer pricing policies. The other thing that we're seeing too is that the global tax landscape has really evolved. There's so many structures that were put in place that just don't work now and are actually potentially going to be a risk for organizations. We're also looking at a lot of organizations that are saying, I need to do something with my global structure because it doesn't work now with Pillar 2 implementations and how holding structures are going to be scrutinized more. And there's just so many additional rules that are coming out that having an unwieldy structure is becoming more of a problem for organizations.
How interesting that the Pillar 2 minimum tax and the related requirements are also part of these changes.
Not only at the international level, but even at the state level, I've got clients that have state transfer pricing, and what they thought was a good structure 10 or 15 years ago doesn't make sense now, given how the rules have changed.
That's fascinating, and it's true, right? As our state and international tax systems change, companies have to respond. What does a typical legal entity rationalization project look like for a client?
Depending on how many entities are in your structure and how large the structure is, domestic footprint, global footprint, we really are bringing to our clients an approach to LER. We're trying to meet them where they are in the process. So maybe the organization's identified that they need to do LER, but they don't know where to start. Or maybe the organization said, I want to do LER, and this is what I want my end state to look like. I don't want any more than one entity in each jurisdiction. We have an approach that we take to organizational structures. Say, here's your whole structure. Let's filter to this specific jurisdiction. You have 200 entities in the United States. How many do you really need and why? And then we have templates that we've put together that walk through various facets of interests of LER stakeholders. We have this national team that we've brought together that represent different facets of tax, but it's not just tax that's impacted. There's legal, there's finances, operations, treasury. So at the client, there also needs to be a core team of stakeholders that have the ability and capacity to sign off on data points that we've collected on each of the entities to make sure that when you say, yes, I want to rationalize this entity, you're not tripping over some wire. We can help facilitate that process, even provide the project management aspects of it.
It certainly just is not a one-size-fits-all type of project. And I love the way you put it. Coming back to our theme of leaning out and becoming lean and mean, my husband's a dietitian and works with athletes. And what a swimmer needs is different from what a linebacker needs. And meeting companies where they're at, having a bespoke plan for how they can achieve their objective.
And one thing that we also can do is this cool tech, and we'll take that structure, we'll put it into the tool, and then we'll spit out, what would the best state income tax answer look like? How can you achieve savings while you're undertaking this project to achieve your business objectives? And then they can layer in all of their guardrails on, well, no, I can't eliminate that entity, not this entity. But all the while, you're considering the tax aspects. You're considering how you're moving assets and boxes around in your structure. You're considering how you're actually creating your footprint for acquisitions and growth going forward as well.
Something I know we talked about previously, savings. There's a lot of cost to keep an entity.
With respect to not having to implement or onboard an entity to something like an S/4HANA, that can be very high, around $500,000. That's a one-time cost, whereas the others would be annual, more thinking about the compliance aspects of maintaining an entity financially and from a tax perspective. Typically, we've used our data points to try to highlight a range that clients typically see, and that's between $40,000 and $70,000 or so per entity. That's an average.
Sometimes you take for granted what it takes to keep a company up and running. When you have those hard costs to evaluate it, you can really see the value of these projects. Adam, as people are transitioning to S/4HANA or just merge and acquire new entities, operational transfer pricing comes up quite a bit, and it's something you need to think about. Do you want to talk to us a little bit about that?
It's really important that you set up the legal entity structure first before you start implementing all this in the ERP system. If you want to have somebody like Ashley help you decide which legal entities to keep and which ones to get rid of, with an eye towards how are we going to operationalize the entities that are left. Let's say you go from having one legal entity in India that does contract R&D and another one that does sales and marketing. You merge those two entities, so now you have one entity that does both functions, but you still want to give them different markups on the contract R&D versus the sales and marketing function. So now you have to create two separate profit and loss statements within one legal entity. There's going to be some extra work from an ERP perspective, but generally you're going to have a lot of savings there because you don't have to maintain these two legal entities. And once you've set up the P&Ls and the other infrastructure, you can now track that, and hopefully it's easier to manage and you have fewer TP reports to write because you have fewer entities and you've got fewer costs going forward.
The less entities, the less documentation. It makes everything easier, but it's also critical that people working in the business understand that transition as it's happening, right?
Yeah.
It is important to have people at the client that have that vision about how they want transfer pricing to work at the end of the day. How do they see it and how can you streamline it? Because it's important to let the business drive how the transfer pricing gets set up.
I like to think of it as like a blueprint, where you create the blueprint of what the final structure looks like. Then work subcontractors, where Ashley will come in first and move the entities around that's creating the foundation and the framing, and then come in and do the electrical to help get everything flowing correctly within the house. And eventually you've got this newly constructed house that looks beautiful and has a great layout and flow, and it's efficient and it costs less to maintain.
The other thing too is that oftentimes legal may control the org chart, and when legal controls the org chart, they might not care about the tax classification. We have these boxes in the structure, but we're not really sure what the tax classification is. And then we see issues with clients saying, I need to clean up my structure. But then once you take their structure and you lay it out with the tax classifications, and then you put another layer on that of the intercompany transactions, we need to do something to clean these up and do it the right way so that we're not tripping over issues related to historical intercompanies. That's where analyses around is it debt or is it equity can really impact the structure and the ownership.
I've worked with companies in regulated industries where they purposely set up legal entities for liability purposes. It's definitely important to talk with the legal team where you need an entity in place for that legal purpose, and that even aligns with the transfer pricing. It helps you set parameters for what you can and can't get rid of, and then 100% agree with you on how is it funded, what is the historical income or loss for an entity, because you want to make sure you're not just losing those tax attributes as you're getting rid of the legal entity, because that could be something of value you could offset against other income. Let's say if you have a legal entity you're about to get rid of that has a $10 million net operating loss, instead of getting rid of that entity, you shift another entity that has people functions into that entity or merge the two. So now you have people generating income in an entity that has a bunch of historic NOLs, and then income gets shielded against the NOLs.
That's a great point, Adam, about preserving tax attributes, things like basis, as well as NOLs at the state level or at the federal level.
These projects are really fun to work together on, because that's definitely your area of expertise, to say, well, here's the attributes, here's the entity I want to use. And then I get to come in and say, here's what people functions we have. Here's how much income I can attribute to this new entity. And we work together to figure out how do we maximize the value to get to a better answer.
We talked about the regulatory requirements and how you might have to force certain folks in certain entities and jurisdictions because of all of the precursors for all of that debt capacity analysis.
That is definitely an under-focused area. There's a lot of focus on, can an entity support the level of debt they're taking on, which is going to be based on their cash flow and the assets they have. If a company wants to push down more debt or even just support the debt they have, they've really got to make sure that as they're moving entities around, they're not taking away the attributes that could support that debt. But also, there's opportunities when you're moving entities around to use debt strategically. So we want to make sure that the new entities have the ability to take on the level of debt and activities we're envisioning as we're combining entities and structuring these entities differently as part of an LER project.
What I've also seen is that entities may have specific employees in them or a specific function of the business, and then those entities, by way of transfer pricing, are just cost plus. But then you have the rest of your structure and your operating assets that are essentially producing the income, and that's where you would want to say, well, they have the income, pushing debt into entities that have operations can make sense, especially when you're undertaking LERs, understanding from projections what income producing assets, what assets are ending up in these entities.
I'm actually working on a pitch right now for a client, Ashley. It's a U.S. company. Parent legal entity is in California, and the parent above that is international. So they push down a lot of debt from the international parent to the U.S. legal entity in California that's a holding company. Below the holding company is an operating company that does manufacturing and has nexus in 30 or 40 states. Because the debt's all at the holding company in California, you only get the deduction at the state level in California, but all these other states don't get any debt deduction that are doing the manufacturing and actually generating the income. Now, from a transfer pricing perspective, they all consolidate the U.S. holding company and the operating company, so the debt's fully supportable, but all the income is actually generated at the operating company. We've been working on is, how do you push that debt from the holding company in the U.S. down to the operating company so that all those states get part of that interest deduction? this client was looking at something like $3 or $4 or $5 million a year in tax savings just by aligning the debt and interest expense with their actual operations.
Is there anything we didn't touch on?
In the current climate where clients are really looking to cut costs, this is a great opportunity to clean up house, cut those costs down, and streamline operations.
One of the things that we bring to the table is that it's not just a tax exercise. It's everybody together making decisions about the legal entity structure. It's an opportunity to bring people together, work through these items holistically so that we're making the best decision for the organization as a whole.
A lean, mean business machine is often the key to success. So let's keep rationalizing, keep streamlining, and keeping our corporations fit and ready for whatever comes next. Thank you so much, Ashley and Adam, for joining me today.
Love it. Thanks, Brittany.
Thank you so much, Brittany. It was a pleasure.
Thanks for joining me on this adventure in transfer pricing. See you next time.